Okay, page Memtes. Memtes. Halacha chav tes. V'im amar adam b'dvar mitzvah. Al yachzik toiva li atzmai. Okay, gaiva. Now we're discussing. Guy person is successful. He achieves the mitzvah. Don't take credit. Lema kama chasida ana. I'm a pious person. Ela yitin tishbachos v'hoida ois lamachem yishtabach v'yisale zichron. Look at that beautiful expression. Give tishbachos, praises, v'hoida ois, thank yous. Lamakoim to the Creator, Yishtabach v'yisale zichroi. Okay, nice thing to plagiarize. Nice expression over here to take from this safe over here. Very nice expression. Hashem, who should be praised, and may His remembrance be elevated. Shehi tzilohu mechatoi lefonov, who has saved him from sinning. Asher biyodol lahatois libo el kol asher yachbo. It's Hashem has the ability to direct a person's heart in any direction which Hashem sees, Hashem desires. Shenemar, like it says in the pasuk, palge mayim lev melech biyad Hashem. Now he says a lot here. Let's just translate the words. This, like streams of water, is the heart of a king in the hand of Hashem. Now he's now streams of water means that just like when you have a river. At some point in time, the river branches off into multiple streams. And the water can go in any direction. It's just the hashkocha pratis in which direction Hashem sends the water as it travels down the mountain. Likewise, a person's mind, his thoughts, his approach to anything can go in many different ways. You don't know where a person, which path a person will take when he tackles an issue. There are many channels, and it's b'hashkocha pratis in how HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides a person to deal with an issue in life. Which stream, where should the streams go when he comes to an obstacle in his life? Now notice in this pasuk he's telling us that every single person is called a melech. It's a very, very famous pasuk. Everyone knows this pasuk. Lev melachim biyad Hashem. It's not a pasuk, it's an expression. It's an expression from Chazal. Lev melachim biyad Hashem. The heart of the king of kings is in the hands of Hashem. We find sometimes we have elected officials. Okay, today we don't have real kings, but the closest thing we have to a king is an elected official. We vote and we campaign and we all think it's going to be the biggest chorban in the world if this elected official gets into office. And sometimes it's not so bad. Sometimes, who knows what would have been the other way around? Who knows what would have been? And we find that elected official, he makes decisions that are to the benefit of Klal Yisrael and to the benefit of society. Who influenced him to make those decisions? So we have no choice but to say, a religious person, Lev Melachim Biyad Hashem. How does that fit in line with the principle of Bechira Chofshis? Good question. Obviously, there's a balance. Obviously, there are different dimensions in a person's actions that are bechira chavshis, but there are certain things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to influence a person to make a decision that is in his liking. Why? In the zechus of the tzibur, and in the zechus of the person's family, and in his own merit. So it's a very difficult balance to appreciate that a person, not every decision you make in life is your own. So it says over here. It says it's a very satisfying sefer chassidim. Who could say such a thing? That when you make a decision, don't blame yourself. Hashem influenced you to make that decision. I once spoke to a very big Rosh Shiva, and I asked him. I said to him that I could understand the person is born into a difficult situation. And you have absolutely, it's clear in your mind that the difficult situation that you're in is at no fault of your own. It's at no fault, this is the matzav I'm in. I was born into the situation, I did not bring this upon myself, so I can deal with it. A person accepts, you have emunah, Hashem brought this upon you, deal with it. Okay, but what about when you find yourself in life in a situation that's very difficult because you made a foolish mistake. You in the past had
to make a decision, you were presented with a dilemma, and you had a choice, answer A or B, and you selected B. And you made a decision, and it was a foolish decision, at least according to your understanding, you made a decision B, and now you go down 5 years later, and here you are, and it's a disaster. You find yourself in a very difficult matzav. So what are you supposed to... Emunah! Why should I say Emunah? I said to this rabbi, why should I say I should have Emunah? I have no one to blame but myself. Hashem didn't bring this upon me. The things in life that Hashem brought upon me, I accept. I can deal with them happy. Everything is fine. But I can't blame Hashem. There's a lot of satisfaction in life in blaming Hashem. You realize but that? Okay?
Hashem didn't help you make that decision.
Oh, so I argued with this Rosh Hashiva. No, Hashem didn't. Hashem gave me Bechira Chafshis. It was clear as day. You have a decision. Theoretically speaking. Okay, theoretically speaking, you have a decision. It's not really everyone can relate to this in their world. I certainly can. Theoretically, you have a decision. Okay, you're presented with, you have the crossroads. It's either A or B. Make a decision. And you think, and you come to the conclusion, I'm going to do B. I'm going to do B. Okay, you do B, and that has major consequences in your life. Fast forward 5 years later. Life is miserable. In life, at least I can tell you, it's very, very satisfying to be able to blame Hashem. It's one of the most satisfying things you can do. Hashem, it's your fault. I have tainus on you. It's your fault. You did this to me. You put me in this situation. What do you want from me? Listen, I'm a good guy. I do the best that I can, but don't blame me because you brought this upon me. Okay, that's obviously, I'm curious to say such a thing, but we all do it to some degree. That's life. That's the way a human being is, a person. Everyone walks around with tainus on Hashem. Everyone has complaints against it. That's the way life is. Okay, let's not fool ourselves. Okay, fine. You go weiter. You can live with it. But what about those things in life where you can't say that to Hashem? I can't say to you, Hashem, you did it to me. Hashem says back to you, I didn't do nothing to you. I was very good to you. I gave you an opportunity and you blew it. You blew it. You had a choice A and B. 99 people out of 100 would have chosen A, and you're a fool. And you chose B. You're a fool. So what do you want from me? You have a miserable life? Go blame yourself. Don't blame me. When you can't blame Hashem, and you have to blame yourself, because 99 out of 100 people would have done the opposite, you got a big problem. You don't have an outlet. You don't have an outlet to blame Hashem. A person needs to blame Hashem. You really do. That's part of life. That's part of the human nature. And then you have to daven, and you have to have emunah. That's what you're here for. You're here to go through Hester Panim, not to see the Yad Hashem, to realize you're in a difficult situation, and say, I have emunah. Hashleich al Hashem Yehovecha, v'hu yichal kelecha. That's life. But when you can't do that, because Hashem says back to you, you're a tippish. You were in a matzav, 100 people, 99 would have gone A, and you're a fool, you did B. And that's why you're in this matzav. So who's there to blame here? No one but yourself. You know what that does to you? You're in a lot of trouble now. It can make you miserable. It can eat you up. So this rabbi said to me, he's the only one that said this to me. I asked a bit different people this question over the years. I asked this question to different people, spoke different people. The only one that said to me, I still don't accept it. I still have a hard time swallowing what he said. He said to me, it was bashert to make that mistake. You have to have emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu influenced your mind. Hashem was there at that moment when you made that decision. You made decision, you went B instead of A, even though out of 100 people, 99 would have gone in the other direction. It was me'eis Hashem, me'Hashem yotza hadavar. And he says, I'll prove it to you. This is what he said to me. I said, how do you know that? Adam HaRishon, he was given the choice. Would you, Chava presented him with the Eitz Hadas. Chava said, here is the forbidden fruit. Would you like to have an apple? Or would you not like to have an apple? Would you like to eat this apple, yes or no? What would you do? Everyone in this room said, of course I'm not going to eat the apple. Hashem said, Don't eat the apple. You're not going to eat the apple. So 99 out of 100, we look at Chumash, we can't fathom why in the world did Adam HaRishon make such a foolish mistake. He was the Yetzir Kapov of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem told him, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he ate from the Eitz Hadas.
So
it's a foolish thing. Now, because he ate from the Eitz Hadas, what happened? It was Nigzar upon him that he should die. And because he's going to die, he needs a replacement. And what is the replacement? He has to have children, And he has to have, those children are also going to die, so they have to have children. So we have today a world, there are, how many billion people are there in the world today? 7-8 billion people now, currently. The accumulation of the number of people that existed from the time the world was created until today, how many neshamas exist in this world is not even something we know how to count. Okay, whatever it is. Each one of those people has brought about, to a degree, an element of Kiddush Shem Shamayim. He had an awareness that there is a creator, and he behaved in a certain way because he recognized there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. We're living in a world that is so complex, it's beyond our imagination, and all of this comes to give honor to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why? Because Adam HaRishon made a foolish, foolish mistake, which is almost impossible for anyone to understand. I give you the example, 99 out of 100, it's like, go take a billion people. Out of a billion people, 999, or 100 million, or whatever the numbers are, million, 1,000 million, wouldn't eat from the Eitz Hadas. And he, Adam, made the foolish mistake eating from the Eitz Hadas. If Adam would have done what everyone else would have done, and not eaten from the Eitz Hadas, he would live forever. And it would be just a world of just him.
But Hashem told him not to eat. And
he ate.
And he ate.
Doesn't make sense.
Hashem had absolutely no influence in this decision.
This is what this Rosh Hashiva told me. Adam HaRishon, he ate from the Eitz Hadas. It doesn't make one bit of sense. It is so foolish what he did. It's beyond comprehension. If he would not have eaten from the Eitz Hadas, Chazal tell us, the world would be just for him. And the entire Kiddush Shem Shamayim, the entire beauty of coming to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, would start and end with one man and his wife, Adam, HaRishon, and Chava, and that would be the whole world, period. But
no
now, what? No,
no,
there was not an explicit Chazal, no plan for children, no plan for reproduction. That's it, that would be all, just Adam and Chava, and that is
what
it.
What do we need a wife?
Why you need safsa? You need company. You need company. You have someone to fight with. What would life be like without having someone to fight with every day?
What?
What do we need such a big room for over here? Look at how big this room is. Let's go sit in the basement in a teeny little room. Hashem gave them a big world. What does he give? Give him a big world. A little nice world. Yet the Kiddush Shem Shamayim that came out of Adam HaRishon's chait, it's still going on, is infinite, beyond our comprehension. So this Rosh Hashiva said to me, he said, it was bashert for Adam to make that mistake. There are consequences, that's right, there are major consequences. But it was meant to be. This Bechira, he had free will, he suffered because he made a bad decision, but don't just give up and throw in the towel and say, I made a foolish mistake, I can't blame Hashem. If I could blame Hashem, I could deal with it. It's healthy to blame Hashem. It really is. I know it sounds crazy to say such a thing, but every person, the only way a person is able to survive in this world is because he's able to have kindness on Hashem. It's not the course to say such a thing. You know what I mean. You're able to have complaints, and then you work with it, and you come around to acknowledge that I have emunah in you. That's a healthy way to live. That's the way Hashem wants us to live. To live in Hester Parm and then come on to say I have emunah. And if you can't do that, you're finished. You're toast. And Adam HaRishon, he made a mistake. Only in the mistake, he blamed him. It's his foolish mistake. It's his fault. But yet, we know for a fact that it was a good thing he made that mistake. Because by making that mistake, it brought about in this world a much greater honor for Hashem. And therefore, You can blame Hashem for making that mistake also. That's what this Rosh Yeshiva told me. If you make a foolish mistake in life, that's right. Don't blame yourself. Blame Hashem for your foolish mistake.
That's part of the portion on the entail who we carry. As long as you're angry with me, you're still having a conversation.
It's a very, very deep idea. I've asked this question to many people, this type of question, and no one said anything like it. Everyone basically just shrugged their shoulders and said, "This is too complicated for me. I don't understand. I don't know this. Just forget about it. Forget about life and go weiter. Don't think too much." And this one says, "I understand what you're asking. Let me explain to you what the answer is." I mean, you're not going to understand the answer, but the answer is, in life, you have to understand it's basher to make foolish mistakes in life. And if the foolish mistake leads you to a matzav where you're bitter and you have a lot of trouble, so you know what? If you had a tzara, rachman l'tzlan, that has nothing to do with your foolish mistake, it has to do with a situation you were put in, Would you be able to deal with it? Yeah, you would. You would, because I didn't bring it upon myself. So then, if you have emuna... What?
Let's say you're walking and a random bullet hits you in the head or something like that. That's much worse.
It's not much worse. It's easy. It's terrible. It's terrible either way. There's nothing we're not to describe. But let's focus on dealing with the aftermath of the tragedy. Yeah. If you are not responsible for what happened, at ki hu zeh, you're born into a situation. So then you recognize, if you're a religious person, you have to have emunah, you realize that I didn't bring this upon myself. I was put into the situation. Am I a religious person, yes or no? If I am, I have emunah. Hashem has brought this upon me for a reason. He has his reason. And therefore, I accept it. I will deal with it in a responsible way, and I'll go further in life and be a happy person. But if you're living in a miserable situation because you brought it upon yourself, I can't blame Hashem. I hate myself for what I've done to myself.
So I
can't break out of it. That's what I'm doing tshuva. That's what I'm doing tshuva. I'm talking about dealing with a world of reality. What?
Everything in life. You have to rationalize.
Why? So therefore, you can't rationalize it.
You rationalize it by blaming Hashem.
Oh! But you can't blame Hashem because you made the mistake. Person in life finds himself in a difficult situation. It could be for one of two reasons.
You have to rationalize why I made that mistake. I don't like to blame myself for making that
mistake. And let's say you can't rationalize why you made that mistake. Let's say you can't rationalize it. Let's say you can't. Let's say you cannot rationalize. I'm discussing a very specific case where you were presented with a dilemma. Take a poll. Go out into the street. Take a poll. We'll go study society. 100 people presented with exactly that dilemma. Exactly that dilemma. What would they do? 99 out of 100 would take option A. And one person would take option B. You're the person who took option B. And because you took option B, you find yourself now in a miserable situation. Everyone who took option A is smiling. Now, who am I going to blame? Are you going to blame, well, Hashem, you did this to me. You put me in this world, you put me in this situation. Or are you going to blame yourself? You're going to blame yourself. If you blame yourself, you hate yourself, and you get depressed, and you throw in the towel, and what am I supposed to do? Now I'm miserable. So it's a very big problem. So this Rosh Yeshiva says, no, in this situation, the same way if you put into a situation that was not under your control, you wouldn't blame yourself. You would blame Hashem. And you'd be very happy. You'd be very happy to blame Hashem. So when you made a foolish mistake, you know something? You can blame Hashem also. You can also... Hashem is willing to take the blame. And that way, why? There is such a thing. There is such a thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu influences you to do things that really are not rational. Leiv milochim biyad Hashem. Leiv milochim... What?
What happens if the 1 out of 100 you take and it's successful...
We're not discussing that. Then we're not even. There's no discussion.
Hashem, you're going to thank yourself.
Yes, you always thank Hashem. You have to thank. Of course, thank Hashem.
Of course, if it's a wrong mistake.
That's thanking. That's easy. That's not an issue. When things are good, you don't. There's nothing to worry about. Everything is fun and games. Discussing when things are not so good. The Sefer Chasidim here is alluding to this, I believe. I believe the Sefer Chasidim is alluding to this very, very deep idea. And the Sefer Chasidim here is telling us over here is that there are times in life when you think you're making a decision and you're not really making the decision. Hashem is influencing you what to think, what to do. But there's something called Bechira Chafshis. It's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. It's a very complicated world. A human being is very complicated. You have Bechira Chafshis. You are accountable for your Bechira Chafshis. There's no doubt about it. But even with that, accept the reality that there are things you do not understand, that there are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu influences you to make decisions which has major ramifications in your life, and the decisions you're making are just not rational. He says that over here. He really develops this in a very profound way. Look at the words inside one more time. Let's read this whole paragraph one more time. The Im, Omad Adam Bidvar Mitzah. Here we're discussing success. Al Yachzik Toiva Li Atzmai. Don't take credit for yourself. Lema to say, Kama Chasidana. I'm a great guy. Praise Hashem. Hashem is the one who influenced us to do this mitzvah. Asher, why? Why do we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has influenced us to make this decision? Don't we have a principle in life, in Yadus, that a human being has Bechira Chofshis? It's not in Hashem's domain to influence us to decide between good and bad. Toivora, not 100%. Even though it's true, there's Bechira, there are times when Hashem does give influence. Asher biyado, it is within Hashem's hands, lehatois libo, to tilt, to direct your heart, el kol asher yachpoitz, what Hashem wants you to do. Shenemar, it is a pasuk, palge mayim lev melech biyad Hashem. You have to read the words, the pasuk translated out of order. The heart of the king is in the hands of Hashem, like, similar to Palge Mayim. A river flows, it comes to a point where there is an impediment in the earth, in the topology, and the water cannot continue to go in a straight path, and it has to find a diversion, has to channel, has to branch, because the topology does not allow it to continue going in this direction. Where is it going to go? Is it going to turn to the left? Is it going to turn to the right? Is it going to turn to this angle? Is it going to turn to this angle? And you realize that if it turns to the left, there are going to be creatures or human beings that are going to live miles away, because this water is going to travel in that direction and sustain them. But if the water channels in the other direction, those creatures miles, miles away in the other direction are going to starve to death. They're going to die of thirst. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He guides the stream when there's an impediment to go in a specific direction, because Hashem knows it all, He sees it all. He is the one who controls the Hashkacha. Palge Mayim Lev Melech Biyad Hashem. V'oimer, another pasuk says, V'oech Soch Gam Onochi Osecha Mechatoli Avimelech. Avimelech, Hashem says, Avimelech, you think you're the one who decided not to live with Rivka? I don't even remember, is Rivka or Avram? I don't remember, because I think it's Rivka. I think this is Rivka, right? Is Rivka? Yitzchak? No, there was two stories. There was a story with Avram had it twice, and Yitzchak had it once. There were three stories in the Torah. There was the story of Avraham with Paro, and then there was Avimelech, and then there was Yitzchak, right? Am I confusing the thing? Yitzchak with that. Yitzchak? Okay, look, that's Avraham. That's Avraham. Wait. May Avimel. Okay, that was all. Okay, so whatever the case over here, I have prevented you from sinning to me. You see such a concept, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls a person's decisions, and it's extremely complex to connect that, how that is not a contradiction to the principle of Bechira Chofshis. Next paragraph. Anyone who wants to do teshuva and to be from those who are a chosid, and wants to achieve the depth of the ways of Hashem, and to comprehend the depth of Hashem's honor, Don't enter into this world. A person should not become a philosopher unless you really are you're cut out for it. We know four people went into the Pardes. Four people went into a world, and only one person came out okay. Rabbi Akiva. Yatsab, and what does the Mishnah say? The other three were damaged. Okay, were damaged.
Ben Azai is hated for mace. Ben Somo ended up in asylum, so to speak, and Elisha Ben Aguirre.
Abikaris. Okay, so it's a very dangerous world to become a philosopher, to go into this world.
To interpret Hashgacha Pratius, I think that's very
good. Or to interpret yourself, try to understand yourself. That's right, it's very, very dangerous. It's very dangerous. Look, people, like I told you years ago, it's not true today anymore. From the best that I understand, is that people who became psychologists, if you want to go for a PhD in psychology, it's a very dangerous world. In the old days, I'm not in that world, but someone who is a psychologist today, who is a very successful psychologist, actually it's a woman, and she has a PhD in psychology, and I once had a conversation with her about isn't it very dangerous? So she started laughing, and she says, "You're right. It used to be very dangerous. The technique and the approach to studying psychology years ago was basically to do everything on yourself. To do a psychoanalysis. All of the work in psychology was focused on analyze yourself, study your relationships with your family, with Ribbono Shel Olam, with your religion, with your family and your parents, and delve deep into yourself, and that can be very, very dangerous.
That's why a psychiatrist has to get psychoanalyzed before he gets his degree.
They told me no more. Today, when you study psychology, you don't study yourself. You study others. The approach today, I don't know if it's true in all universities, is this woman told me that the approach to getting a higher degree in psychology is not to study yourself. Study others. You study different individuals, you study the science behind it. It's not today geared on studying yourself. Many years ago, the school of psychology was in order to, on no psychology, in order to be a doctor, in order to help someone else, you have to understand yourself. You have to be a guinea pig. You have to psychoanalyze. So you spend years doing this. You spend years psychoanalyzing yourself and writing and studying, and that can be very dangerous. If you delve too much into your own mind and you challenge your beliefs and you challenge the relationships that you have with your parents, with your friends and your teachers, you can do to yourself great damage. But when you keep yourself out of the equation and you study other people, big deal. You're not going to cause any harm to yourself. It's not about me, it's about someone else. You're not causing any harm. And Imamish says this. Look what he writes over here. It says over here, don't go into this world. Don't try to understand the Ribbono Shel Olam, to understand the Midah Keneged Midah, to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis, to know what came before the world existed and what's going to happen when the world comes to an end. What is life all about, Rabbi Yisai? What are we doing here? Don't think about this too much. You go to your mind. What are we doing here in this world? What's the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? Even for a very religious person, what are you doing with your life? You have emuna. Your parents didn't go and put you into a yeshiva, put you into a system. If they want, because they wanted to harm you, they wanted to destroy you. Your parents felt this is the Derech HaChaim. Their parents, they have faith in their parents, and their parents and their parents. Going back to Sinai, you have to live with some emuna, otherwise you go out of your mind. And if you want to go and try to delve into these things more, maybe it's a good idea, but make sure you're cut out for it. It's not for the faint of heart. Ele imkein hu mavin. V'nefesh rotzayin toiv b'loikas. Then he goes on, a good neshama is a neshama that doesn't get angry, control the meat of kas, v'yazav sichas v'le'odam, then a person should not talk too much. Okay, sichas v'le'odam, idle chatter, gossip. Gossip is a curse. Okay, the internet is mamish all gossip. It's like the comments on the blogs is the cesspool of society, more or less. Okay, especially the unedited comments that you read on the blogs is just wow.
You say that they hire people to write on the
blog? Certainly. They have people. They have hundreds of people writing to influence people's minds.
How do I get such a job?
But who's they? Governments? No, Russia. Wasn't that the big scandal?
I want to be clear.
They even claim. They even claim the government. They claim Russia. They had Russia to influence the election. They have people. A whole facility of people sitting with fake IDs and super high tech technology. Not to be traced, just running comments.
That had no discernible effect anyway.
Well, that's the question. Did it not?
It had no.
We assume not. But they're not the only ones who engage in this activity. You can hire services. In marketing, you can hire services. People promote themselves. Amazon is very scandalous. Amazon, it's... What do you buy in Amazon? I want to buy a product, even something, a foolish nonsense. I look which item has the most reviews. If there's a product that has only one review, and there's a product that has 3,000 reviews, it's not even a Havamina. I click on the item that has 3,000 reviews. I look at it, I see that most of them are good. Good enough for me. It's good enough for these people, it's good enough for me. Oh... So I assume there are 3,000 reviews. It's an honest system. Amazon hasn't placed checks, hasn't security to make sure no one has hijacked, who has hacked the system and fooled it. And read the news not so much recently, but about a year or two ago, there were major problems of people who were able to beat the system and post fake reviews, even under a verified purchaser. And they're able to hack the system. How are they able to do this? They are very sophisticated things. They have people at their companies that specialize in this. They specialize in beating the system for you, okay? Getting results. And people, a person who has a product and they have 3,000 reviews or good reviews, you're a millionaire overnight. Because every person, once you know how Amazon works, you only buy a product that has been proven to be a good product. You don't want to be a guinea pig for a new product. I once was a guinea pig. I once it was a new product, a new device, and I figured, you know, it was like new releases, and it really looked good, and I was familiar with the specs, with all the technology, and I bought it, and I was very disappointed. I really viewed it to be, it was like a $50 loss. I really was, it was a certain type of electronic device, and I learned from that the hard way, never again. You buy a product, no matter what you buy, don't be a guinea pig. You don't really know. You buy something that's been proven to work.
They put up your evaluation?
Did I put up?
No, did they put up your evaluation?
No, I usually never review anything. I don't want to, I don't know, I'm just lazy, I guess. Sometimes I do write a review. They always drive you crazy. They want the review. Usually I wouldn't give a 5 stars. So I don't want to be a bad guy. Go give a 4 star or 3 star. So I just keep my mouth shut. Try to at least...
That I was reading a chain of hotels for giving a discount to the rooms.
If you give a review.
If you don't do a bad review.
Bad review, that's illegal.
No, but that's what happened there.
They give you a discount if you'll write a review. That's 100% legal.
But what had happened, there's a hotel, whatever they came, there is no service. You get the electronic key to the mail, you go into the room. The rooms were terrible. So they brought a bad review. So the hotel chain, it's a whole chain, asked him for the full price.
If you give a good review,
that's
illegal. It's illegal. That's a terrible thing. That's fraud, mamish, outright fraud. What's very common is we'll give you a very big discount if you will write a review. Whatever you want. We're not telling you. We're not allowed to tell you what to write. We're providing you a good service, so we have faith that you'll write a good review. And if you're a quack, anyway, you'll be proven wrong by the other people who are honest. Okay. V'chol, if we write over here, this very person should yazav sichas b'nei adam. Stay away from gossip. Don't read the comments on the daily news. Okay, don't read the comments on the articles in the daily news. It's a cesspool. Okay, even the comments on the Jewish sites is also a cesspool. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And the comments, unfortunately, on the Jewish sites is also a cesspool, but I don't want to say that. It's not nice to say. Even though I just said it, right? The Yazai is scary.
And if you defend such a person, they come after you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really scary. Next, Shahashua Yiladim. Don't talk like children. Man up. Be an adult. Don't be a child. Umilehasiach im ishtoy ella b'shas hamase. I'm not exactly sure I understand what that means. Chazal say, altar besicha im isha. Be ishtoy amarta. Kol shekein v'eishes chaveroi. Okay, so whatever this means, it means. I'm not exactly sure what this means. V'liyoy zohir b'mitzvah kala kibechamura. A person be meticulous in his observance. V'liyoy zohir.
Just don't pass the time of day without something.
Constructive. Constructive conversation. V'liyoy zohir v'lokum l'fnei zokei n'afilu mea pamina. This is something that's the halacha. Okay, we always try. I thought it would be more halacha than hashkafa. But here's the halacha. This is something which has captured the attention of the Balei Halacha and the Svarim which elaborate upon Halacha, and this is something which they disagree with. A yo-yo. It says over here that you should be a yo-yo. Every time a Zokain walks into the room, who's a Zokain? Someone over 70 years old. So you're in a room, a Zokain walks in, stand up. He walks out, he walks in again, stand up. The whole day you're going up and down, up and down, up and down. You're a yo-yo the whole day. Is that la halacha? So most of the poskim disagree with the Sefer Chassidim. They tell us you don't have to be so machmir because you can't live like that. You stand up once a day and that's it. A person who you have respect for, he's over 70 years old, some say over 60 years old, he walks into the room, you stand up for him. Do you have to stand all the way up on your feet and salute? No. Halacha l'maaseh, you don't. You give a little kvetch. He walks in. You acknowledge his presence by giving a shakel, a shtickle shakel. You give a shakel when he walks in to acknowledge. I acknowledge that you are here. That's derech eretz, and that's it. You're done. If the fellow walks out and comes back again, do nothing. Once a shakel, once a day is enough. What about, if a very big celebrity walks in, the chief rabbi of Israel walks in, and then of course you stand up. There are hertz, okay? We're not discussing exceptional cases where people come in, celebrities come, big talmidei chachamim, big yorei shemaim, of course, and you stand up, there are hertz. But of people that you deal with, people that you are in contact with every single day, the norm, what is acceptable, halacha lemaisa, is you give a shakel once a day, and that is more than enough.
That's to the first person.
No, every person. Every person. I mean, obviously, it's everyone. Everyone. Every person deserves an acknowledgement. Why only one person? Every person. Every person that you see for the first time during that day, you have to give an acknowledgement.
Even if you're over 7, then you have to get a
acknowledgement? No, then you don't. No. One Zakein L'Chayra does not have to stand up for someone in his... No, L'Chayra not. I believe not. I believe not. How now? That's not what it says, Rabbi Isai. That's not what it says here. He writes here. That's not that. What I just told you is what is accepted halacha lemaisa in all the svarim. I can't even quote you chapter and verse, but that's why I saw that. Though the Sefer Chassidim, I have the same company, by the way. I like this company very much. Oitzra place. They have a lot of nice things. They put out a lot of very nice svarim, and there's a companion to this Sefer Chassidim. They have a few companions. They wrote a lot of things in Sefer Chassidim. They have a likud of modern-day Piskei Halacha. And that's what it says there. And we don't paskin like this. We don't paskin like this. He says something here that's very extreme. To say such a thing, v'liyoy zohir, v'lokum, lifnei zokein. Zokein means someone who's over 60 years old, technically speaking. Afilu me'o pe'amim. 100 times a day. Bal yihi olav l'masa. Don't get tired. Because you love Hashem, and this person is a person who has more, is closer to Hashem than you, because he is older, he is wiser, Zeshakan Chachma, Torah tells you, Vyodarta Pene Zakein, Hashem gave you a mitzvah. Don't get tired of standing up 100 times a day. It's good exercise. Okay? It's good spiritual exercise and physical exercise. This is a very nice chumrah, but it's not accepted as normative halacha. Okay? We don't have to be so machmer in our day and age. That's what it says in all the big books. We're going to stop here, take a short break, and then we're going to talk about Shabbos Shira. This week is Shabbos Shira. What is Shabbos Shira? What does that word mean?